Ministry of Crime Detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin of Sexton Blake with David Gregory as his assistant tinker and Heather Chasen as his secretary, Paula Dane, in a new series of case histories by Donald Stewart. And the first one is called Lilies for the Ladies.
Chuck over the toast, Governor. Can I have the toast, please?
Yes, of course. Here you are.
Thanks. What's so interesting in the paper?
Beatrice Linfield.
Not married again, surely?
No, she's dead. She was strangled in her flat in Clarges Street yesterday evening.
I bet her husband did it.
You'd lose. He was in Cannes. Give me some more coffee, will you?
He's the seventh husband, isn't he?
Something like that. The marriage wasn't a great success.
None of them were.
No, she was unlucky. Too many dollars, too used to her own way, too neurotic. Very difficult to live with.
Why are you so interested, Governor?
Beatrice Linfield makes the fourth in the last 2 years.
The fourth?
Pamela Mortimer, Marigold Bradley, Edith Woodthorpe. All the same type, middle-aged, rich, much married, and all murdered. The only apparent motive in each case was the husband's. He got the cash, but like Linfield, had a cast-iron alibi.
You're not suggesting that these four murders were organized?
I'm not suggesting anything. In each case I've mentioned, the husband, the most likely suspect, was provided with an unshakable alibi. In this case, Henry Linfield was in Cannes attending a public dinner at the very time his wife was strangled.
What time was that?
7 o'clock in the evening.
Mrs. Linfield was alone in the flat?
From 6 o'clock onwards. The murder mightn't have been discovered until the servants came back, but somebody thoughtfully rang up the police.
Rang up the police?
Yes, just said that a woman was dead and gave the address. Somebody wanted to make sure that the discovery was made while Henry Linfield was still at that dinner in Cannes.
Well, that fits in with your idea, I'll admit, Governor, but... But surely it's all a bit way out.
Men who marry these rich women are mostly after the money, Tinker.
But that doesn't mean they'd listen to a proposition to murder him. If anybody suggested it, he'd be taking a heck of a risk. Supposing the husband refused to play.
In the case of the four dead women, the husband's obviously didn't, if my supposition is correct.
Well, you may be right, Governor, but I can't see it. How does this organization go about it? Wires removed, courtesy in dispatch, excellent references, terms moderate, estimate free. Send for illustrated brochure.
It doesn't have to be quite as crude as that. A slightly cryptic advertisement in one of the dailies can produce that kind of service.
Well, these women weren't all strangled, were they?
Oh, no, that would have linked them a bit too obviously. I expect the police have spotted the possibility of a connection. And just at the moment, we've got quite enough on our own plate with that.
Mr. Sexton Blake's residence? No, this is his assistant speaking. Who did you say? Well, if you hold on, I'll see. Henry Linfield wants to speak to you, Governor.
Henry Linfield? Where's he calling from?
Well, London Airport. He sounded a bit of a flap.
Give me the phone. Sexton Blake speaking. Yes, I know. I've just seen it in the paper. I see. When? Very well, I'll expect you. Yes. Goodbye.
What does he want?
Advice. He's coming straight here from the airport.
Before he sees the police?
I think that's rather the point. He's flown in on an earlier flight. They didn't expect him yet. Interesting, eh?
Did he sound to you in the flat?
He sounded very tense. It looks as if we might have to make some extra room on that plate after all.
Will you check this report, Mr. Blake? I've done 3 carbons.
Oh, thanks, Paula. I'll run through them. Have you been through to Chief Inspector Coots?
I can't get him. He's not at the yard.
Did you try the flat in Clarges Street?
Yes, he's not there either. Sergeant Bates doesn't know where he's gone.
Good old Coots. I bet he's tackling the job with the energy of a bulldozer gone berserk.
Don't underestimate Coots, Tinker. He lacks imagination, but he's a very sound man.
I'll try the yard again.
Keep on trying, Paula.
Linfield hasn't turned up, has he? He's had loads of time to get here from the airport. It's over 3 hours since he rang up.
The police may have been waiting at the airport in spite of that earlier flight. He'd have to deal with them first.
There he is now.
Will you see him right away?
Yes, shoot him in.
Getting impatient, isn't he?
Oh, good morning. Can you tell me if Mr. Linfield is here?
Who's that?
I believe Mr. Blake is expecting him.
He isn't here yet.
Would you like to see Mr. Blake?
Yes, I would, please.
What name shall I say?
Carr. Iris Carr.
Well, if you'll just wait in my office, I'll see if Mr. Blake can see you. Did you hear that, Mr. Blake?
Yes, bring her in, Paula.
What's she like?
Young, smartly dressed, very pretty.
I wonder what she wants, Governor.
Henry Linfield, apparently.
Mr. Blake will see you.
Oh, thank you.
Miss Carr, Mr. Blake.
Sit down, Miss Carr. You expected to find Mr. Linfield here?
Yes. He told me he was coming to see you when he phoned me.
He phoned this morning?
Yes, early, just after 8, from London Airport. He said he was calling in to see me at the flat on his way here. When he didn't turn up, I thought I'd come round here and see what had happened. I was getting worried.
Why?
Well, you know about his wife.
Did you know her, Miss Carr?
No. No, I didn't. It was a terrible shock when I heard that
You heard? You didn't read about it in the newspaper.
No, Harry, Mr. Linfield told me when he rang up this morning.
I see. Well, I can understand it being a shock, but why were you worried? Did you think that Mr. Linfield had anything to do with it?
No, of course not. Well, how could he? He was in Cannes.
So why were you worried? Because he didn't turn up at your flat?
Well, yes, I suppose that was it. What can have happened to him? Where is he?
Probably helping the police with their inquiries. Do you know why he was coming to see me?
No, he didn't tell me.
Did he sound at all agitated when he phoned you?
Yes, very. I thought he was scared.
Do you know of any reason why he should be?
No, but that's how he sounded. Afraid.
Excuse me. Yes, Paula?
I've got Chief Inspector Coutts on the line.
Now, put him through, will you? Blake here, Coutts. We've been trying to get you. Yes, I know. What? Where was this? I see. Where are you now? The yard, good. Do you mind if I come and see you? Yes. I'll explain then. Well, it might. No. So long, then. With you soon. Paula?
Yes, Mr. Blake?
I'm sending Miss Carr along to your office. Will you look after her? Give her some coffee. You know the way to my secretary's office, Miss Carr. Tinker and I have to go out, but I want you to stay here till we get back. We shan't be long.
But supposing Mr. Linfield
Just
comes...
Just leave everything to my secretary.
Oh, very well.
What was all that, eh, Doctor?
I didn't want to say anything in front of the girl. Henry Linfield won't be coming. He's dead.
Dead?
Stabbed to death in a public call box at London Airport.
That's all, Blake. A man went to make a call. Found Linfield huddled on the floor of the call box. Gave the alarm to the airport police. They told our man who'd gone to meet the plane. He phoned me.
You saw the body?
Straight away. Heard you'd been trying to get me when I got back.
What time was he found?
8:20 this morning. I was at Clarges Street. He was stabbed in the back. Died almost at once, but not quite. Scrawled the word Sam in the dust.
Sam?
Mean anything to you?
No. Linfield phoned me to ask if he could see me. Conversation was brief and to the point. He gave no information.
Look here, Blake. How do you come into this? You say Linfield phoned you?
Yes, but I don't know why he wanted to see me.
Perhaps he knew who killed his wife. Damn queer business.
Like Pamela Mortimer, Marigold Bradley, and Edith Woodthorpe, eh?
Funny you should say that. I've been thinking the same.
No motives, husbands with cast-iron alibis. All very neat and slick, Coots. Too neat and slick.
Agreed. Husbands the only ones to benefit, but none of them within miles of the victims. Witnesses to prove it.
Extremely well organized, eh?
Now, what are you getting at, Blake? Now, who'd be fool enough to commit murder to benefit somebody else?
Someone who was getting a large slice of the profit.
Oh, come now. Might be possible in one case, but not in four. Can you see anybody saying to a chap, how much will you pay me if I bump off your wife so that you come into the money?
Not very feasible, is it?
I'd say it was rubbish. Nobody'd stick their neck out that far.
It mightn't have been done like that.
Any idea how it could have been done?
Somebody was afraid that Linfield might tell us.
Such as Sam?
I suppose you're checking up to see if he knew anyone named Sam.
Got it in hand. Checking up the servants, too. Think they're all right, but got to make sure.
By the way, how did the murderer get into the flat?
Now, Mrs. Linfield must have let him in. No sign of a forced entry.
Or he had a key. Where was she when she was killed?
Well, the telly was on. Suppose she must have been watching it. Didn't put up much of a fight. Half tight, if you ask me. Reeked of gin.
Chief Inspector Coutts? Oh, yes, sir. Now? Very good, sir.
AC wants me. VIP, Mrs. Linfield was. American citizen before her marriage to Linfield. Hamburger heiress. Dollars galore.
Well, I'll be off. Oh, just one thing. I'd like the official files on those other women.
Well, I wasn't on those cases, Blake, but I'll have them sent round.
Thanks.
If you turn anything up...
I'll let you know. Goodbye for now. Don't let the commissioner get you down.
I won't.
I'm all right now, Mr. Blake.
Sure?
Quite sure. I'm sorry I was so silly.
Do you mind if I ask you some questions?
About Harry?
How long have you been friends?
About 18 months. I used to model for Maison La Roche. Mrs. Linfield bought a lot of her dresses there, and Harry came with her sometimes. That's how I met him.
I see.
He was very unhappy. Mrs. Linfield wasn't a nice woman. She drank quite a lot. She used to have fits of temper and rave at him.
So he spent as much time as he could with you?
Yes.
Mrs. Linfield had no idea.
No.
Did he talk to you about his friends, people he knew?
Sometimes. He had to meet a lot of people. Mrs. Linfield entertained a good bit, you see. And...
did he ever mention anyone named Sam?
Sam? No, I don't think so. No, I'm sure he didn't.
Well, thank you, Miss Carr. Now you'd better go home. I'll get Tinker, my assistant, to drive you
no,
there.
Please don't bother, Mr. Blake. I can get a taxi. I feel quite all right now.
Please, I kept you here. The least I can do is to make sure that you get home safely.
Tinker? Coming, Governor.
One last question before you go, Miss Carr. Have you any idea who arranged this trip to Cannes? Was it Mr. Linfield's wife, by any chance?
Oh, no, it wasn't Mrs. Linfield. I believe it had something to do with the Samaritan Club.
What did you... just a minute, Tinker. Did you say the Samaritan Club, Miss Carr?
Yes.
What is the Samaritan Club?
Well, I don't really know. Harry mentioned it once, but I don't know anything about it.
Thank you, Miss Carr. Tinker, take Miss Carr home to her flat, will you?
With pleasure.
You've been very kind.
Oh, nonsense. Look after yourself and don't worry too much. Ask Paula to come in, Tinker, as you go out.
Okay, Governor. Come along, Miss Carr.
You want me?
I want all the information you can get me about a place called the Samaritan Club, Paula.
What sort of club is it?
I can't tell you. I know nothing about it except the name. But I believe Henry Linfield was starting to scrawl the name in the dust on the floor of that call box and die before he could finish it.
Sorry I've been so long, Governor. I hope you didn't want me for anything.
It would have been all the same if I had. What have you been up to?
Well, I made Iris have a meal. She hadn't eaten anything at all. Didn't even have any breakfast. I felt sorry for the kid.
It's remarkable how deeply you always sympathize with a pretty girl, Tinker. The more attractive she is, the deeper your sympathy.
We only talked about Henry Linfield, so don't get any ideas, Governor. She was nuts about him. She's a right little honey.
If you can detach your mind from beauty and distress for a moment, I've got a job for you.
What is it?
The Samaritan Club. Paula's got some gin on it, but I could do with some more. A lot more.
Where is this place?
In Hartford Street. It's run by a man with the unlikely name of Montague Glasspool. It's a membership club, very exclusive from what I can gather. And the membership is limited.
Linfield was a member, was he?
I'm pretty sure of it. Extremely expensive.
Iris says that Linfield never had any money. His wife kept him short of cash. She paid all the bills, but was mean with the spending money.
Oh, that's interesting. Go along and see what you can find out about this place. Pick up all the gossip you can. I doubt if you'll get any information from the people connected with the club, but people in the immediate neighborhood may talk.
I'll do my best, Governor.
And take care, Tinker. Keep your eyes skinned. Henry Linfield didn't stab himself.
I remember when all these here houses belonged to the gentry. Townhouses, they called them. Used to work as a boot boy at one of them, I did. Now look at them. Officers. And these here clubs. And the gambling.
The Samaritan Club looks a posh sort of place.
What used to be Lord Larkin's place? Oh, used to run errands for him, I did. Had a nifty little piece for a housemaid, he did. Cool.
And now you work for Montague Glasspool, eh?
That's right. Cool, what a difference. Thinks he's class, but he ain't. Wouldn't have got near Hartford Street in the old days.
Well, here's luck.
Cheers. Glasspool lives in the club, doesn't he?
He's got a flat on the top floor where the servants used to sleep. That little housemaid I was telling you about, she slept in the room he uses as a bathroom. Used to call me Ginger, she did. Cause I'm here. I ain't got none now.
You know most of the members, I suppose.
Oh, I know them all. There ain't a lot, you know. His nibs is a bit choosy. Well, he's got to be, ain't he? I mean, no good if they're short on the sausage and mash.
Lose a lot of money, do they?
Sometimes. But sometimes they wins a packet.
Do you ever have any trouble? Dub checks, anything like that?
Oh, we don't have that sort. Hand-picked, our members is. Very strict, his nibs is. You'll be surprised at the number of applications what gets turned down.
Did you know a chap named Linfield? Henry Linfield?
That was the bloke whose wife got bumped off at... Here. How did you know he was a member?
It was in the papers, wasn't it?
What's your game, eh? Asking all these here questions.
Well, just a matter of interest.
You get yourself interested in something else, see? I ain't supposed to talk about our members. Not to no one. I ain't, no.
Sorry, I didn't mean to speak out of turn. If I was a bit nosy, it was because I was wondering if there was any chance of a job.
But it's the money, then. Not a ruddy hope. Same not if it was there when it opened.
Still, I suppose there wouldn't be any harm in me seeing Mr. Glossball and asking.
You'll be lucky. Like blinking royalties, Nibsies, you won't see no one. Well, I must be off.
Oh, have another pint before you go.
No, I ain't got no time. Got to change into my uniform, see? It'll take me 5 minutes to get to the club. Much as my job's worth to be late.
I was in the saloon bar near the glass partition. Couldn't help overhearing our conversation with Ginger, so I thought I'd come round. You seem to be very interested in the Samaritan Club.
Any law against being interested?
None. As long as it doesn't become extreme. Tell me, why are you interested?
That's my business.
And mine. Let me introduce myself. I'm Montague Glasspool. I don't know who you are or what you think you're after, but I'm warning you. I'm allergic to snoopers. Good evening.
About Henry Linfield that made him suspicious, Tinker.
I could have kicked myself for that. Old Ginger spotted it and went all cagey.
It was a mistake. There's been nothing to connect Linfield with the Samaritan Club. What's this man Glasspool like to look at?
Hefty brute, but a bit flabby. Large tummy and a nose to match. Veneer a polish, but not very deep. Ginger's description was bang on. I hope for the old boy's sake Glasspool didn't hear that bit.
He's the doorman of the club, isn't he?
Yeah. He must be over 70. I made several inquiries before I got the Ginger. The Samaritan seems very respectable, very expensive, and very exclusive. Gambling is the chief attraction, but there's a restaurant and a bar for the use of members, of course.
Any women members?
No, gents only. Not very helpful, eh?
I don't know. I've got an idea niggling at the back of my mind, but even if I'm right, it's going to be very difficult to prove.
Well, let's hear it, Governor.
Not yet, Tinker.
Oh, thank goodness that's over.
Oh, didn't you have a good time, Paula?
A good time? Give me strength.
Where have you been?
He's been having dinner with Percival Falconbridge Fuchs. Two small Fs. He knows everybody who's anybody in the West End and exists like one of the lilies of the field.
Well, I'm glad to say that the evening cost you £20 and the price of the dinner.
Well, I hope you had a good one.
Considering I was paying the bill, I made certain of that.
You look charming, Paula. Quite a dish.
Well, it didn't stir any response in the breast of that tadpole.
The only thing that stirs any response in the breast of Mr. Falconbridge Fuchs is the welfare of Mr. Falconbridge Fuchs. Did you get anything?
Yes, I think so. Edward Mortimer, Charles Bradley, and James Woodthorpe are all members of the Samaritan Club. And so was Henry Linfield. That's what you wanted to know, isn't it?
It is indeed. You've done extremely well, Paula.
At the expense of the most boring evening I've ever spent.
I should have thought you would have found Percival Falconbridge Fuchs a charming companion. His manners are impeccable.
A mentally retarded Prince Charming. Can I go home now? I'm exhausted.
Yes, Paula, and thanks very much.
Oh, don't worry, I shall charge you overtime. Good night. See you both in the morning.
Is this chap as bad as Paula makes out?
On the whole, yes, but he gets around, knows everybody, goes everywhere, at someone else's expense. I've used him before, but his information's reliable.
So all the husbands of the dead women were members of the Samaritan Club?
Significant, eh?
Meaning that Montague Glasspool is the chap behind the murders?
In a way, yes. It's not really quite as easy as that.
I wouldn't call any of it easy, but I suppose you know best.
That's just the trouble. I don't. I wish I did.
Well, anyway, what do we do next?
You can work this one out if you like. Take 5 from 3.
You can't take 5 from 3, Governor.
Annoying, isn't it? Well, I'm going to bed. Tomorrow looks like being quite a day.
Well, I've got most of the dope you wanted, Blake. It took a bit of doing in the time.
Oh, thanks, Coots. It needed to be done officially, or we could have handled it. What's the verdict on Glasspool?
What you'd expect. Been in all kinds of deals. Some paid off, some didn't. No record. Never been in trouble. One thing, though, he was on the verge of going bankrupt just after he opened the Samaritan Club.
Oh, that's what I'm interested in.
I thought you might be. He got out of it somehow. No information how.
There wouldn't be.
Began to make money. Loads of it. The bank, a bit cagey, disclosing information. Got hold of a chap in the Inland Revenue. He did the trick.
And the result?
Glasspool's rolling in it. Nearly a millionaire. Ties up, eh?
Quite tightly, Coots.
I can't do anything. No proof.
I might be able to supply that.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to the Samaritan Club. I want to have a little talk with Mr. Montague Glasspool.
Only members is allowed in the club.
I have an appointment with Mr. Montague Glasspool. My name is Sexton Blake.
Overtick, sir. I'll get onto the house phone.
Thank you.
I've got a gentleman here, sir. Name of Sexton Blake. What said he's got an appointment. Yes. All right, sir. Will you go up, sir? Lift's just round that corner. Top floor, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
This is all about. Would you better come in? Here we are. Now, I can spare you 5 minutes.
You'll spare me as long as I require, Mr. Glasspool.
What? I don't like your term.
You'll like it even less as time goes on.
What the hell do you mean? I agreed to see you because
I told you that Linfield had talked and you were scared.
Rubbish. What have I got to be scared about? Who did he talk to and what about?
He had a girlfriend, Iris Carr. He talked to her.
When?
London Airport, after he arrived back from Cannes.
But there wasn't time.
Go on, Glasspool. You were going to say there wasn't time before he died.
You're mad. Get out of my flat.
Where shall I go? To the police? They'd be interested in what Iris Carr told me. As neat a little murder setup as was ever planned.
I've got nothing to do with any murder setup.
Pamela Mortimer, Marigold Bradley, Edith Woodthorpe, and Beatrice Linfield.
I didn't kill them. You can't prove anything against me.
It was your brilliant scheme, Glasspool. If Mrs. Bradley's husband kills Mrs. Mortimer, while Edward Mortimer is provided with a perfect alibi, no suspicion can attach to Mortimer, although he inherits his wife's fortune. Bradley has no motive, so he's safe. Or again, if Mortimer kills Mrs. Bradley, and Bradley is supplied with an alibi, no suspicion can touch him.
It's ridiculous. Fantastic. Do you think these men would commit murder because I asked them?
Well, they had to, didn't they? They owed you so much money, they had to dance when you called the tune. You threatened to tell their wives, and they knew the result of that. They'd have been kicked out without a penny. Your way, they got a fortune, in spite of the slice they had to pay you. And they got rid of a middle-aged, probably nagging wife into the bargain.
You can't prove any of this.
No, I can. You've forgotten Iris Carr. That's where the whole scheme came unstuck. Linfield. He was weak enough to agree to the murder of his wife, but unlike the rest of the precious bunch, he had some remnants of conscience. It started working in Cannes.
Fool.
What did he do, ring you up and tell you he couldn't go through with it?
Now, look here. If you know all this, why did you come to me instead of going to the police?
You're a rich man, Glasspool.
Does that mean what I think it means?
It depends on what you think it means.
I'm willing to do a deal. I'm not admitting anything, mind. And I don't want any trouble.
I'm sure you don't.
Then, can't we come to an arrangement?
No, we can't.
What do you mean? I thought you said that...
If there's any dealing to be done, I prefer to do it with the real owner of the Samaritan Club.
I am the owner.
I don't think so. Soon after you opened this place, you nearly went bankrupt. Somebody supplied you with a large sum of money. That is the person I'll deal with.
You could be sorry for that choice, Mr. Black.
Ah, Mr. Mortimer. I was wondering when you were coming out. Oh, don't you think that gun is a little melodramatic?
I like to be prepared. How did you know it was I who found the money for Monty?
Common sense. You hadn't enough money yourself. Your wife certainly wouldn't have supplied it. So she was the first victim of the murder scheme. Probably she'd found out that you'd been swindling her and was threatening to become very nasty about it. Right?
Very clever of you.
Who actually did the killing? Was it Bradley?
Does it matter? You hit on the right method when you explained the plan to Monty. Only it was my idea, not his.
5 murders and only 3 people to do them. Somebody must have worked overtime. Was it you, Mortimer?
Please yourself. It won't matter.
No, I suppose not. They'll sort it out at the trial.
Oh, there isn't going to be any trial. We were going to discuss a deal, remember?
I never discuss deals at the point of a gun. It gives the other side too much advantage.
Put the damn thing away, Mortimer. You couldn't use it, even if you wanted to. Make too much noise.
Shall we continue with the deal? You haven't a great advantage, have you? No, not really. I mean, nothing that's been said here counts. It's only your word against ours.
Iris Carr?
I have an idea you're bluffing there, Blake. I doubt if Linfield would have poured out the whole story over the telephone, particularly as he intended coming to see you. But as Monty said, we don't want a lot of trouble. Anything of that sort attaching to the Samaritan would be so bad for business.
frighten off the mugs with rich wives, eh?
There'll be no more of that.
I see. You'll rely in future on the faked roulette wheel and stacked decks of cards.
You've forgotten the loaded dice.
Stop all this nonsense and let's get down to brass tacks. Now, what do you want?
Make me an offer.
Well, since you haven't really a lot to sell, £10,000?
What are you trying to do? Protect your investors? I doubt if you'll be paying a dividend this year.
You've absolutely no evidence, you know. A theory, even if it's correct, isn't proof.
Large sums of money have been paid over by Bradley and Woodthorpe for services rendered. That can be traced.
Not a hope. This is a gambling club. They had very heavy losses.
We've got nothing on us. Nothing at all.
It could be unpleasant if the police started making inquiries.
Hence the reason for the £10,000.
Well, half a loaf, I suppose, is better than a limp handshake.
Get the money out of the safe, Monty.
Very good. There you are. 10 lots of 1,000 in tenors. Bit bulky.
Oh, don't worry. I bought a briefcase.
Just a little safeguard for us. I shall want you to sign a receipt. In consideration for the sum of £10,000, I agree not to proceed further in the matter discussed between us. Write that out, will you, Monty?
Very good.
What a nice legal mind you've got, Mortimer.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. If you tried to pull a fast one on that little document, it wouldn't look too good for you.
Or you?
It doesn't mention the matter we discussed. But it does show that you accepted a bribe.
Discredit the witness, eh?
Very well. Is that what you want?
Fine. Just sign there, Mr. Blake, and the deal is completed.
Not quite, Mortimer. You need an independent witness to this, don't you? I could dispute that it was my signature.
That's the point. Monty, ring down and ask Ginger to send Slade up. He'll do.
Send Slade up to my flat. And hurry.
Care for a drink, Mr. Blake?
No, thank you. Charge of murder.
Rubbish!
You see, before I came here, I dictated a full statement of what I intended to say and how I expected you to react. Dated, timed, and witnessed. Coots has got that at Scotland Yard.
That's right. Have a job to explain away that bribe if there was no truth in Blake's accusation.
Bradley and Woodthorpe wouldn't stand up to a cross-examination. When the murder plots exploded, they'll collapse.
I'll settle with you anyway!
Oh, don't be a fool! Give me that!
That'll keep Mortimer quiet for a bit. Hurt my knuckles.
Oh, well done, Coots, but Gospel's in a bad way. Go and find a doctor, Tinker, quickly.
Okay, Governor.
I hope he survives long enough to make a statement. You took a risk.
And to play it off the cuff. Hadn't you better get Mortimer away before he comes round? That was a beautiful right cross, Coots.
Bit of sheer luck, Blake. I'll phone for a police car. What's this place called? The Samaritan Club.
Yes. Ironical, isn't it?
That story in our new Sext and Blake series was called Lilies for the Ladies and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sext and Blake, David Gregory, Tinker, and Heather Chasen, Paula. Iris Carr was played by Hilda Schroeder, Detective Chief Inspector Coots by Wilfred Carter, Ginger, Norman Mitchell, Montague Glasspool, Basil Jones, and Edward Mortimer was played by James Beck. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alastair Scott Johnston.